We're gonna get rolling here as you find your way back to your seats. For those that are online, we want to welcome you. Thank you for being a part of our service today. Hopefully you gave us a shout out and said hello on there, and we'll respond back to you. It's funny how as we grow up, as I grow up, and as our culture changes, jobs change a little bit. You know, especially in churches, we have these new trendy terms and new trendy jobs. Like, it used to be a senior pastor, but then old guys were being pastors. And like, I don't want to be called a senior anymore. I don't see a problem with that. I mean, in a few years, I get the discount for dinners and everything. I'm excited. But they're lead pastors, and we have ministers of facilities. I'm like, are they evangelizing the bathrooms? I don't understand what. And we have all these terms. But there are other jobs outside the world that 20 years ago never even really existed, and I never thought they would have existed, and I'm not making fun of these all the way, but social media influencers is a real job, and people make money for that, and it's a, not that it's crazy to me, but it's sought after by many, and so I pulled up, what is the job description of a social media influencer? We are searching for a well-connected social media influencer to serve as our esteemed supporter. Esteemed. I like that. I'm not looking for a new job, by the way. Just this. The social media influencer should review all sponsorship requirements before proceeding to devise highly appealing content. Upon publication thereof, you should also monitor viewers' feedback. To ensure success as a social media influencer, you should exhibit unwavering authenticity and thoughtfulness about our company's vested interests. Ultimately, an exceptional social media influencer should remain culturally literate and keenly responsive to feedback. So here are your responsibilities. Schedule content publications across platforms. Craft and edit pertinent content. Covering all stipulated talking points. Sharing highly visible links to prescribed websites. Combing through your audience's feedback to ascertain their insights. Ascertain, isn't that a great word? That's your college word of the day. Adhering to all other agreed upon sponsorship guidelines, conveying authentic enthusiasm throughout each publication. You need to have a high school diploma, demonstrable experience as a far-reaching social media influencer, a large, highly dedicated viewership across multiple channels, tech-savvy and well-honed marketing skills, excellent verbal communication skills, an amicable, there's another college word for you, there's a Google if you need it on your phones, or just ask Siri, an amicable, authoritative, and culturally aware disposition, predictably authentic, and identification with broader societal causes. Yeah, so those aren't bad, but some of the things are a little, exhibit an unwavering authenticity and thoughtfulness about our company's product, not what you want to do. But I need you to have an authenticity about my product. And you're like, okay, and you need to cover all the stipulated talking points. And there's all these things, and I was just kind of looking at the list like, that's a little bit scary because they're just trying to get people to buy a product. It's the new commercial, right? Instead of putting commercials on TV because people are subscribing to networks that don't have commercials anymore, they hire social media influencers to be the new commercials. Is really what it comes down to. And I don't have a problem with that, but it just makes me a little bit more apprehensive about social media and all the different sites that do that, because I think that the people that are on there don't really have my best interest in mind. What they have in mind is, how do I get the best money? The more followers I have, the more supporters I get, the more I can plug other people's products, the more I get paid at the end of the day. And so do they really care about me? Or do they just really care about the pocketbook? And so I'm a little bit more, not that it's a bad job, but in order to do that, they say, you know, you have to have multiple followers across multiple platforms. And what makes it a little bit even more scary is, you know, you can buy followers, which aren't really followers, they're just bots, and they never comment on there. But all of a sudden, like, you might look at me and go, well, this Pastor Brian guy has 67 followers on Instagram. Why should I listen to him when Pastor so-and-so has 673,431? Obviously, he's far better at what he does, and they probably are great. But you don't know that they really have that many followers, because they're just buying followers to look good, to make you think, wow, this person, I should really listen to them, look how many followers they have. they must be great. And so it's a little bit scary to think about that. And so my question kind of, if we're thinking about this, who are you following? Who are you giving permission to speak into your life? Who are you coming to and saying, speak your truth and your wisdom to me. I'm ready to grow and learn from you. And are they speaking the truth? Are they speaking their truth or the truth? Or are they just blabbering away about things? And I know there's some confusion about what truth is anymore. Obviously, here's the dust statement of the day from the pulpit. I'm a pastor. I believe that God's word is the truth, not just for Christians and not just for the church. I believe it's the truth for all people. Duh. Well, of course you would think that you're a pastor. Right. But what are they saying is their truth? And who are we following that we get their truth to speak to us? And are we really following people that care about us? Because I think some of the people out there don't really care about you. They don't really know you. They're just using you to get the most they can out of your pocketbook until they move on to the next client. Right? And then you're like, wow, you're real cynical, Pastor. I'm careful. I am cynical sometimes. I will admit to that. And in light of all that, I would say this. Do I believe that there are social media influencers out there that truly do care about their clients and their customers? Absolutely, I do. I think they really care about them breaking through and having healthy lifestyles physically and mentally and emotionally and even spiritually. I think there are people that are out there like that. Likewise, I also believe that there are some pastors and churches out there that could care less about you. They just want to get money out of your pocketbook. It goes both ways. Who are you following? Who are you letting speak truth into your lives? And as we talk about Jesus being the true shepherd, if he's the shepherd, we're supposed to be following him. Are we following him? Or are we following other people? And who are we following? And the reason I bring this up is this. Do the people that we're following really care about us? Because the bottom line for today is this. Put it on the screen. There's no value in following someone that doesn't value you. Let me say that again. There's no value in following someone that doesn't value you. And you and I probably follow a lot of different things and a lot of different people that could care less about us, but they want to speak their truth into our lives. And I would tell you this. If they don't really care about you, they're probably not worth following. There's no value in following someone that doesn't value you. We're going to be reading from John chapter 10 as we continue on to the story. If you would stand with me as we read from God's word. We're going to read John chapter 10, verses 10 through 18. If you can't stand, that's okay. You can stay, remain seated too. We don't want to force people to do what's uncomfortable. This is God's word for this morning. John chapter 10, starting with verse 11. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for them and for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Let's pray together, church. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for Jesus, just all his teachings about who he is and who he should be in our lives. And God, I pray this morning as we talk about the good shepherd that we would listen, not to me, but we would listen to your word. We would listen to you, who I believe genuinely cares for each and every person in this room, for each and every person online listening to this, really cares for all people. So Lord, have your way, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat, church. I encourage you, if you have YouVersion on your phones, or it's called the Holy Bible app, You can go on there and follow along in the sermon. And I put some links to some videos that's just hard to show in here so you can watch. Here's my only caveat as you're thinking about doing this, or this is just a good practice when you come to church. Take out your phones right now and just turn the volume all the way down. Because sometimes, what's the video? And then we're going to have 20 people listening to the video, which is great for you, but might be a little distracting for others. But with our volume down, it works better. The good shepherd, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. First thing I want you to see about Jesus as the good shepherd is this, what a true shepherd does. A true shepherd values the sheep. He values the sheep and cares for the sheep and loves the sheep. As we read in the passage, these are different things Jesus has said as being a shepherd. Up in verse 10, which we didn't read this week, but it says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. That was verse 10. And I lay down my life for the sheep. In four different verses, Jesus talks about laying down his life for the sheep. Four different times he talks about how important are the sheep to me. I will lay my life down to protect them. I will give myself up to make sure the sheep are safe. How much does Jesus value the sheep? Immensely. On the other hand, you have in the contrast the thief. In verse 10, we read the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And then in verse 13, 12 and 13, at the first sign of danger, when anything can come in and threaten the sheep, what does the hired hand do? He runs away. He could care less about the sheep. There's a threat to the sheep, but if there's a threat to the sheep, there's a threat to my life. I'm out of here. The good shepherd will lay down his life. The hired hand only cares for his own life. A true shepherd values the sheep and cares about the sheep. You know how much someone values you by how far they're willing to go for you. Amen? And we can probably think about it. You can probably think of some pretty good friends. Friends that you count close, and at the end of the day, when danger comes, are they willing to lay their life down for you? You don't have to answer that, but think about that. And are you willing to lay your life down for your friends and for your family? What do we value? Jesus shows us how much he loves us by going to the cross. I lay my life down to shield us and protect us from all the dangers. Even while Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, he's talking about worry and anxiety and just all these different things that sometimes we can worry about. And then he says this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Isn't that a great question? The birds don't care. The birds don't care. They know that God's going to take care of them. Do you think God values the birds more than you? There's no way. The answer to the question is in the question. God values you way more than birds. And if God is going to take care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. Why? Because he loves you. And he values you. And he cares for you. And if he's willing to take care of the birds like he is for that, how much more is he willing to do for you and I? Because he values the sheep. There's a movie out, came out years ago. I think it's a French movie called Force Majeure. And there's a link to the video in there. And what happens is this family goes to a vacation in a French Alp somewhere for a ski vacation. And at the beginning of the movie, they're at the chateau and they're sitting out on the patio having lunch and all these people are out there. And across the way, you see the mountain and you hear an explosion because they're doing a controlled avalanche to make sure avalanches don't happen when people ski. And you see the snow all coming down and the wife's like, oh, what's that? And the husband's like, oh, don't worry. It's a controlled avalanche. Everything's going to be okay. And then it's getting bigger and bigger. She's like, are you sure? He's like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. And then it's getting closer and closer. And everybody's starting to panic. Like, oh, my gosh, this thing is going to, like, bury us out here. We need to get out of here. We need to get inside. We need to get off of the balcony. And so everyone starts panicking and trying to get out of the way. And the mom is screaming to the husband, and the kids are there. And the dad is like, I am out of here, and pushes his kid out of the way and runs off to get into the chateau, and this cloud comes up and envelops the whole patio. Who's left on the patio? His wife and his two kids. That's the wrong move. Husbands, Father's Day is coming up. I just want to let you know, that's the wrong move. It's the wrong move. If anything, that dad should have should have covered those kids. He should have picked up the kids and gone. He should have done whatever he could to get his family to safety. But when push came to shove, what did he really care about the most? Himself. And the whole rest of the movie, he's got to try and win his family over and say, no, I care about you guys too. So I haven't watched the movie. I've just seen the clip. I don't know if it's a good movie or not, but it's a really cool clip to watch. But the question is this. Do the people that you follow, do they value you? Do they care about you? Do they have your best interest in mind? Because I can tell you this about the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd values you tremendously. He cares about you. And how much so? He is willing to lay down his life. And not just give you life, but give you an abundant life. Because he values you. There's no value in following someone that doesn't value you. There's great value in following someone that does. The Good Shepherd values you. Second thing I want you to see is this, that a true shepherd knows the sheep. Up in verse 3, when we were talking about last week about Jesus being the door, he says, to him the gatekeeper opens to the shepherd. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. He calls his own sheep by what? Name. And he leads them out. And then when we read our passage down in here in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. But think about this. Jesus knows his sheep by name. Jesus knows you by name. Does anyone else have a problem remembering names? Is it just the pastors sometimes? And so we have this like model in our day and age. Like, hey, dude, what's happening? Oh, it's good to see you, man. And everybody's a dude or a man or a boss or a sir. Or we come up with names to cover the fact that we don't remember names. It's terrifying. Jesus knows our name. If we were the shepherds, we'd be like, hey, you, come over here. Hey, it's good to see you. Like, you'll get it later. It's good to see you. And like we go anonymous because we can't remember names. And Jesus is like, Fluffernutter, let's go. Black Spots, let's do this. Hey, Black Nose, come on, we're going. Hey, Spotty, let's do this. Hey, Shorttails, come. He knows every sheep by name. It's not a you or a man or a dude or a miss. He knows every one of them by name. And he doesn't just know us by name. He knows everything about us. And he knows us personally. And dare I say, I know we hate to use this word, and let me explain it. He knows us intimately. And we don't like that word because we associate that word with husbands and wives and actions that happen. And it's not the kind of intimacy Jesus knows you. But what I'm saying is Jesus knows everything about you. He doesn't just know your name. He knows everything about you. In John chapter 4, Jesus is sitting down and this woman comes to draw water from the well, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus starts talking with her and having a conversation with her. And they're talking about the water and this and that. And then Jesus goes, hey, go and get your husband. And she's like, I don't have a husband. And Jesus goes, that's right, you don't have a husband because you've had five husbands and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. And the woman goes, interesting, because there's no social media back then to stalk people, right? You all do it, you know it. You're like, oh, it's terrible. So how did he know all this? So at one point, it's freaky that Jesus knows everything about what's going on in this woman's life. But at the same time, we read in the story that she goes back into her town and village and says, oh my gosh, you guys got to come out here and see this guy. He knows everything I've ever done. And some of you are like, yeah, I'm not going. He knows everything I've ever done. I think this is the Messiah. This guy knows every detail of my life. And it's not condemning, and it doesn't make me feel guilty. It actually makes her feel free. Jesus knows his sheep. He knows everything about his sheep. He knows everything about you. Psalm 139 talks about God knowing us even before we were conceived in the womb. Even being knit together in all these different things. Matthew chapter 10, verse 30, we read that God says this, Jesus teaches this, but even the hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows the exact number of hairs on your head. He knows that the number's declining, and he knows that when you get plugs, that number goes up. But he knows the exact number of hairs on your head, all of them. And if he cares to know the number of hairs on your head, how much more does he care about your heart and your mind? God's not interested in just the superficial, how many hairs are on his head. Oh, Brian's got this many hairs on his left arm and this many hairs on his. He knows all those things. But what he really cares about is you. And he knows everything about you. He knows about that thought that you had. He knows about that thing that you did a few years ago that you're so ashamed about. He knows the anger. He knows the pain. He knows the frustration. He knows the worries. He knows the anxieties. He knows the struggles. He knows the joys. He knows the celebrations. He knows everything. He even knows the secret sins you think you're getting away with that nobody knows about. And then let me go back to point number one. He values the sheep and will lay down his life for the sheep, knowing everything you and I have ever done. That's an amazing, amazing shepherd. Sometimes there's people that I want to give up on. I read an article today I'm not going to tell you any of the details about, but I'm just thinking in my head, like, this person is wasting air for other people. Like, I can't believe the things that they came up with. And it's a terrible thought where I need to watch my heart and mind. Sometimes I'm willing to give up on people. Jesus knows everything about people and yet still went to the cross for them, for you and for me. It's an amazing, amazing God. He knows everything. Sometimes I think it's a lot like our telephones. Can we talk about phone conspiracies for a minute, right? Our phones are listening to us. Do you know that? Sometimes you think, oh, no, you're just creeping out. You're not just... But it's true. How many times I've just had a conversation with somebody, not one of those... Oh, if only we had a device to look it up moments and we searched it on Google. No, we're just having a conversation and you go on Instagram or Facebook and you're getting ads for the thing that you talked about and you're like, this is creepy a little bit, right? Or there are times that my phone knows me so well, it keeps track of where I go when I go somewhere. And so when I get in my car on Monday night, it tells me, or like Monday afternoon, because every Monday we go to my parents' house, it's like, oh, it's going to take 27 minutes to get up to this house in Fullerton right now. Like, I didn't type that in. Or there's a group of us that go to lunch every Sunday after church. And you're welcome, not this Sunday because lunch is out here. But we'll go to lunch after church. And you're welcome to just hang out and we'll tell you where to go. And we all go and hang out and have a good lunch together. But there's one time that we talk about going somewhere. And I go and I get in my Jeep to go somewhere. And my phone's like, it's going to take 6 minutes to get to the loft right now. I'm like, wait a minute. We're not even going to the loft, but we've gone there. Like, you're keeping track. My phone knows so many things about me and my habits. It keeps track of those things. Our phones know some of us, but Jesus knows all of us. And he still loves us. And he still wants to bring us into God's family and shepherd us. Do you know Jesus? Or more importantly, does Jesus know you? Are the doors that you want to keep closed because we're afraid to let him see those things? There's great freedom in letting Jesus have access to everything because he already knows everything. He knows everything. He knows his sheep by name. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. We like to follow things that we think matter. Jesus knows everything about us and still loves us and values us. I think that's somebody that's worth following. Amen. Last thing I want you to see is this. The true shepherd values the sheep, the true shepherd knows the sheep, and the true shepherd unites the sheep. And down here in verse 16, he says, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. And sometimes people think Jesus is talking about aliens. He is not talking about aliens. Let's just get that clear. He's not talking about aliens. Jesus is talking to a predominantly Jewish audience right now. And he's talking about God's plan to bring the Gentiles in to the body of believers. They might seem like aliens to Israel, but they're not. We're not talking about that. But Jesus' passion is, I have more people that I want to bring into this flock. I have more people that I want to reunite into God's family here. And that's Jesus' goal all along. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, that we might live eternally with him. The goal of Jesus isn't just to come down and give some good teaching and do some fancy miracles and have people go, oh my gosh, that was amazing. The goal of Jesus is to get to the cross, to pay the price of our sins, to unite us back to God the Father, because sin has broken that relationship. Amen? And so the Good Shepherd, the first and foremost, he unites us back to the Father where things have been broken. He brings us back to what really matters. Second thing Jesus does is he brings us and unites us together as family. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Who's the shepherd? Jesus is. God is. Who's the flock? The church and the believers. There will be one flock. What is Jesus' purpose? I'm not trying to set up 17,000 different pens. I'm going to gather the ones that are lost, and I'm going to unite them back together into one flock. In Luke, I think it was chapter 15, Jesus is talking about the shepherd, how the shepherd will leave the 99 to find the one that is lost. Why? Because that one is extremely important to him. And he knows the 99 are covered, but he knows this one is lost and alone and afraid and possibly in danger, and I will leave them to rescue this one, to reunite it back where it belongs. You know, Jesus wants to unite you back into the Father, into a right relationship with him. That's what the cross is all about, was him paying the price of our sins to bring you back into the family. And in doing that, he wants to unite you into his family here. Not just West Cypress Church, but the church at large. You might be, again, for those that are online, you might attend another church, but listen here. That's fantastic. We have people I know that go to the church across the street. That's great, because I'm not in competition with them. They're family. Amen? I don't care how big the church is, or how little the church is, or mid-sized the church is. I don't care if it's a suburban or a mini. Doesn't matter what kind of car it is. They're family. If they're preaching salvation through grace in Jesus Christ, they're family. And Jesus unites us together. I think my dad has some of the greatest stories in his life. I've had him come and share before, and I might have shared the story before. But growing up, my grandmother got pregnant, and the man that got her pregnant went off to war, and so he would write letters, and one day the letters stopped coming. And so my dad grew up with a stepdad, and didn't really know that wasn't his real dad all the time. He kind of learned later on, but what he just thought was that his dad had passed, and his dad was not alive anymore. And then when his stepdad, if you will, passed away, he found out a little bit more about his dad, and so he had some friends over in Germany, and my dad is a detective, and so he put his detective skills to use, and he pulled some connections and some favors and looked up, and guess what he found out? My dad is still alive. And so it's not enough to just know that his dad is still alive. Dad, I want to meet with you. I want to know who you are. I'm your son. He's like, you can't be my son. We agreed to name our son Wolfgang. It's an awesome name. I don't know how I got Brian. Why didn't I get Wolfgang? Pastor. You know, it's just like Wolfgang. It's like, so my dad's middle name is Wolfgang. And that's what he says. No, that's my middle name. I'm your son. And so they agree to meet together. And through all this, they unite back together. And my dad finds out he's got some brothers and sisters that he never knew about before, because he was reunited back with the Father that he never knew he had. God is chasing after us with all his love and mercy to bring us back to the Father. And we can follow all these other things that we think value us and care about us in this, but they're not our real Father. God is our real Father. And the point of the Good Shepherd is to find us, the one that strayed away, to put us on his shoulders and to bring us back to the flock where we belong, to the Father that we belong to. Jesus, as the Good Shepherd, lays down his life that you and I would be saved, that you and I would belong to God's family. And that's the beauty of all these things about Jesus, as he keeps pointing to the fact that he is the way to eternal life and he is the way to salvation. Amen. And so as I wrap this up, and we're going to get ready to take communion, I want you to think about this. Who are you following and who are you listening to? One of the last videos, and you should watch it on YouVersion, it's really cool because a teacher goes out with his students to a farm, to a shepherd and his sheep. And the shepherd teaches a few of the students the words that he uses and phrases he uses to call to the sheep. And so the three students go up one at a time and they start yelling out to the sheep. And for one of the students, the sheep is like, huh? Don't waste my time. 1, 2, 3. Nobody listens. And then the shepherd gets up there and starts yelling out to the sheep. And they all go, I know that voice. Hey. And then they all start running to the shepherd because they know the voice. And they know that the shepherd loves me, and the shepherd cares for me, and the shepherd might have something for me. And so I'm going to run to the shepherd because the shepherd's calling me. It's an awesome video, and it's a great illustration because the fact of the matter is God is calling out to you. And if you haven't given your life to Christ, if you haven't thought about Jesus as the Savior, he has come to save you. He has come because he values you more than anything else. God so loved the world that he gave up his prized possession, his only son, that you would not perish, but that you would have eternal life. He's ready to pick you up on his shoulders and bring you back to the Father. He's paid the price to forgive your sins. I love how Psalm 23 says that the goodness of God is pursuing us. Surely your goodness and your mercy will follow me. And it really means he's pursuing after us. He's running after us to rescue us. And as we talk about Jesus being the good shepherd, maybe today's the day that you stop running and you allow Jesus to rescue you and to pick you up. Maybe it's a day of salvation for you. Maybe it's a day to say, Jesus, I've just been running from being obedient to you. Maybe it's a day to say, I've been listening to other things and other people that don't really value me. But Jesus, you value me. I wrap it up by saying there's no value in following someone that doesn't value you. God values you enough to give up his one and only son. And so as we come to the table, we celebrate that fact that Jesus laid down his life for us, that he paid the price for our sins. And so I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to come up and just play some music in the background, and we'll have a time of communion. There's a table up front here. There's tables in the back for you to just go when you're ready and get the bread and the juice and take communion to remember that Jesus paid the price for your sins. After that, we'll sing a couple songs, and during that first song, if I could get a couple of elders in back just to pray with people, whether you just got a prayer request or a praise or celebration, maybe you've got some questions about faith, or maybe you want to talk about Jesus and what it means to follow him. We have some people that are interested in baptism, and we might have a baptism Sunday coming up, and if you're interested in baptism and what that is, come back and talk to us. Find Pastor Brandon or myself or Pastor Anthony, and let's talk about baptism and how that fits into our life of faith as we devote our lives to God. Let me say a prayer, and then we'll spend a time of communion and some worship together. Lord God, I thank you. You are an amazing God. I absolutely love the picture of you as the good shepherd. That you know your sheep by name. You know everything about us. And even as I look at this table of bread and juice and the sacrifice you made, you gave up your life knowing all the wickedness and all the evil and all the sin and all the wrong that is in me. And yet you still chased after me and you loved me. Not only me, but everyone in this room, and not just everyone in this room, everyone on the planet, Lord. May we find ourselves listening to your voice and following you, because at the end of the day, you're the one that cares about us the most. God, move in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.